First argued case this morning is number 22-1119 in Re Polaris Executive Center, LLC. Mr. Braun.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. May it please the Court. My name is Arnold Braun. I'm IP counsel for Genesis Village through Polaris Executive Center. I'm here today to ask the Court to reverse the decision by the USPTO to deny registration. And I rest my argument on three pillars. The first is that the mark was improperly evaluated by the board. The second is that the examining attorney and the board failed to consider evidence which is in the record showing that the consumers, with respect to the registrant and the appellant, are entirely different. And third, that the conditions to purchase the services of my client, which is a luxury apartment builder, are such that they are so arduous, time-consuming, difficult, extensive, lengthy disclosures that it's virtually impossible that any likelihood of confusion could arise, or it's de minimis.
So the theory is that consumers would know the difference even though the name is the same.
That's absolutely correct, Judge. Because the process of... we've all rented apartments. We know what leases are like. These are luxury apartments that are priced in the thousands. The waiting lists are 3 years. These people know when they sign a lease that they're entering into a lease agreement with Genesis Village. For example, my client engages in very extensive personal showings, as we all know that when apartments are personally sold. We interview the consumers, rental consumers. We design apartments for the consumer's needs. We require financial disclosures, including income tax returns. We require rental.
Are you currently arguing about DuPont factor four, or which factor are you kind of focusing
on? I'm arguing that the third pillar of my argument is the DuPont factor 12, which is other dispositive issues. We think if the court finds that the certification is dispositive of no likelihood of consideration, then our mark should register. But in the event that's not the case, we rest on argument on two additional pillars, namely the improper dissection of the mark and the examining attorney and the board failed to consider evidence in the record, which it should have considered, which it did not consider, showing that the registrant's consumers are actually property owners and investors. Our consumers, my client's consumers, are apartment renters. Totally different. If the consumers are different, there is no likelihood of confusion.
So it sounded like you were talking about kind of the conditions to purchase, which I would say is DuPont factor four. I do see 12 here about the extent of potential confusion. I guess you're talking about both. Is that kind of what you're doing with
this? Yes, there's an overlap in the structure of DuPont to a certain extent.
Okay. And factor four, though, didn't the board find in your favor on that factor in particular?
The board found that there is a careful and deliberate purchase by consumers, because the process is very expensive. Our apartments sell in thousands. But what it didn't find is reach a point that, look, these conditions are such that this is not buying a toothpaste tube or a toothbrush or going for a haircut. You are involved in some very extensive negotiations for a lease agreement for these apartments. You are involved in very extensive disclosures. So the answer is yes, there is some overlap. And even though the board did find deliberateness of purchase and careful purchases by the consumers, it didn't go far enough. We feel it should have said there's no confusion that could arise or it's de minimis.
What services are offered by the property managers?
We have luxury apartments, Your Honor. Mm-hmm. These are apartments which are built for people looking to rent luxury, elegant apartments. They're large. The kitchen appliances are ultra-modern. The door locks are even electronic door locks. Our apartments have the latest features. We have security services. We have a fitness center. We have things that you simply don't find in a typical apartment lease. It's high-end renting where the rents are in the thousands in this particular marketplace.
So can we characterize it just, though, as like renting out properties, luxury properties, if you want to put it that way, on behalf of the owners? Is that a...
That's exactly it. That's exactly it, Your Honor.
So they're just acting basically like like landlords or something like that. Would that be a fair?
That is absolutely correct. It is a landlord.
Okay. You can keep going.
The first pillar here that the board failed to properly assess is the actual distinctiveness of the design. If I may refer and show the court what is in the record for the design with permission of the court, may I do so?
You may, of course. That was in your brief. I think what troubles us, what I think troubled the board, was that the name is a distinctive name, and you are apparently postulating consumers who are educated before they even get into this rental activity, that they know who's who and what's what. And rather than just have a distinctive name of your own, to have the possibility of confusion.
My case doesn't simply rest on the distinctive name. It rests on a beautiful design, if I may show the court. This is the design.
That's the design on the letterhead.
It's the design on all advertisements. It's the trademark as filed. It's in the record. The board said...
You're saying the trademark is limited to that design?
That's correct.
Not the name?
It is a design mark. A composite mark for the design. And it is for the design. It does include the name, but as we all know, design marks are for the design.
So you're saying that others going into the same business as your client could use the same name with a different design?
We did not. Our word mark for Genesis Village was rejected. I chose to continue prosecution of the mark because of the design. We rest our case that the design is highly distinctive. What the board did was it looked at the design and it simply said it's highly stylized and the design is harmonious with the GV symbol. And I ask this court or anyone, consumer looking at it, does this design actually look less noticeable than Genesis Village? It's a broad design. It spans the entire design.
This is a fact finding, right?
That's correct.
And so, I mean, I understand you're making an attorney argument that this consumer would more likely really focus in on the design portion of your composite mark. The board found otherwise and found that no, they would look at the word portion of your composite mark. And then when they looked at the word portion and saw that the term village had already been disclaimed, the most likely thing they would really zero in on is the distinctive word Genesis, because that is distinctive, unlike village, which has been disclaimed.
And unlike the
design portion, which, you know, is nice to look at, but it's not nearly as, I guess, memorable, I would say, as some of the designs that you were pointing at in your blue brief, like a walking, talking, dancing hot dog or a disembodied torso. I mean, those particular designs in those cases, you know, there's something a little more memorable than your scroll work here. So I guess the problem we have here is you're coming to us for a lot of attorney argument based on things that are truly core fact findings, and it's very hard, I think, for us to revisit all of these fact findings, because we can't do that de novo.
Well, if I may, Judge, respond to that. This court has enunciated N. Ray Electrolyte Labs. That is a key critical case in this matter. And in that case, the court has said there are no general rules. Whether letters or designs dominate, and even if one does, that is still not dispositive. My argument here is that the method that the board used dissected this mark. By merely calling it higher stylized, they totally ignored the overall commercial impression of that mark, which is a critical factor, more critical than the word marks itself, the impression of the word mark. Genesis Partners is plain block letters. Once they reached the conclusion that the higher stylization devoided my client's mark, there was nothing left but the word mark. So I'm arguing that even though they made that rather highly subjective and, I believe, incredible decision to discount the design totally, that the method that they used failed to look and consider the mark as a whole. I dare say that if this mark, if shown to a consumer, to the man and woman on the street, I find it hard to believe that they're going to say the design is less noticeable. I rest my third argument on the evidence presented by the examining attorney. In this case, there was language in the evidence of the examining attorney, it's his own evidence, which clearly indicated that registrant, as a property owner, property manager, was seeking, soliciting, marketing to a specific type of consumer. Those consumers are property owners and investors. They're not apartment renters. Now, I know the argument, counter-argument back that counsel will make is that, well, that evidence also shows that they're renting apartments. I admit that. But the point is, who are the consumers? You have examining attorneys' evidence that literally is littered with words showing that the registrant's consumers are really property owners and investors. Because they're property owners and investors who own real estate looking to manage their property.
The evidence in the record of third-party websites and third-party trademark registrations that show a single source is providing the services Genesis Partners is doing and the services that your company is doing. That there, in other words, there are many, many people out there, companies out there, that are under a single mark providing the service of managing real property and apartment and office rentals. And so for that reason, the board found, and the trademark examining attorney found, that people in this industry would be inclined to think that a single source is providing all of these different services. And so, because they're so related, one could easily imagine consumers thinking that Genesis Partners is not only in the managing real property business, but could also be in the apartment and office rental business, which is what you're doing under Genesis Village.
Well, Your Honor, let me respond to that. Registrants.
Again, this is a fact finding.
Registrants, and again, the board misinterpreted the description for registrant. Registrant's description is namely managing real property. That evidence submitted by the examining attorney includes real estate services. The registrant's description reads real estate services, namely managing real property. The very TMEP says that real estate services is vague and ambiguous. The registrant had to narrow it under the TMEP, and my brief cites quite a few sections in the TMEP that said once it's narrowed, that's the span of their registration. What the examining attorney submitted in the evidence you're referring to, Your Honor, is global real estate service companies that provide real estate brokerage, real estate agency, real estate appraisal, commercial property management, which my client does not provide.
Office rentals, apartment.
My client does have office rentals, as every apartment does. It's a very minor amount. It's basically stores like bakeries on the ground floor. So it's a very minor amount.
The question isn't whether the services in the registration and your application are identical or not. The question is whether they are related or not. That is what DuPont Factor 2 asks. And here, there seems to be very solid evidence that they are, in fact, related, and they are oftentimes, in fact, offered under the same commercial roof, under a single mark.
Well, let me respond to that quickly, if I may. The fact that the consumers are different, there is evidence in the record of the examining attorney that the board never considered, extensive language showing that the consumers of the registrant are investors and property owners. It cannot be ignored. It should have been examined and weighed because there's no substantial evidence. A reasonable mind could have differed on that point. With respect to that latter evidence, it is what was presented by the examining attorney is Global Real Estate Services. Global Real Estate Services. The registrant narrowed its services to namely managing real property. You can't compare apples to oranges. You can't compare a landlord to a global real estate service. And I see my time has now expired. Thank you.
Let's hear from the other side. We'll save your rebuttal time.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you.
Mr. Hickman.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. To overturn the board's decision, Polaris has to demonstrate the absence of substantial evidence. But consider the basic facts of this case. Polaris's application is for Genesis Village for use with office and apartment rentals, and the cited registration is Genesis Partners for use with property management. The board went through the DuPont factors, in its opinion, very thoroughly, and as the colloquy between the court and Mr. Braun showed, I believe, the court made fact findings, and those fact findings are reviewed for substantial evidence. Even if Polaris has counterarguments, the ultimate question is whether the board's findings were reasonable, and we believe that they were.
But the question is there a reasonable likelihood of confusion?
Yes, we believe there is a reasonable likelihood of confusion, Your Honor.
On the presentation that we have, that the market, the customers, are significantly different.
Yes. The law is that the consumers do not need to be identical. The question is whether the circumstances under which consumers would be exposed to these marks would lead to the impression that the services are emanating from the same companies. And in this field, where we have office and apartment rentals, and we have a property management company, and they're both some form, close form of Genesis, we think that consumers would be led to believe, that mistakenly to believe that there is a relationship. And again, those are fact findings that the board made that are reviewed for substantial evidence.
Did the board put any weight on the fact that Village and Partners were disclaimed terms?
The board put some weight on that. The board didn't reflexively say that just because they had been disclaimed that they weren't entitled to weight. What the board said was that, for instance, Partners, which is more of a legal designation, that's something that typically has less distinctive quality, and in a real estate field where you have a company that's engaged in property management, a legal designation like Partners is going to have less distinction. And Village, again, in the context of office and apartment rentals, a village is a place where people live and sleep and do their business. And so the board said that ultimately, while those two words are in the mix, they don't outweigh the significance and the distinction of Genesis, which is the common word in both marks.
Well, there was no citation with respect to the design. Isn't that right? Only the words?
The board did discuss the presence of the scroll work and the stylized GV, and specifically around pages 15 to 16 of the opinion, the board discussed that. And what the board said was that the scroll work itself didn't really do much to distinguish the applicant's mark, and that in fact that stylized GV in the circle is really hard to read, and so therefore a reader would probably just skip over it. And so what the board ultimately said was that yes, there are some differences in that regard, but ultimately the similarities outweigh the differences.
I don't recall them saying the design was similar to anything.
The, If I could just check the opinion, Your Honor, I believe it's around pages 16 to 17. And I can certainly read that back.
I believe you said the design was not sufficient to provide a distinction, but not that the design itself was not distinctive.
I'm sorry, so this is pages 14 to 15 of the board's opinion, appendix pages 14 to 15. And, you know, on page 15, the board says that it can, in the evaluation of the entire mark, the board can place more weight on some parts of the mark than others. And toward the bottom of page 15 says that consumers are likely to perceive applicants' mark Genesis Village as a variation of the cited mark Genesis Partners, notwithstanding the differences in meaning between village and partners. The differences between the marks fail to distinguish them.
Well, exactly. They were talking about the words. Is
yes.
That right? Only.
That is true. On page 14, about halfway down the page, the board says, or specifically talking about the stylized lettering and the design element, the scroll work, the board says, in addition, with respect to applicant's mark, we find the stylized lettering and the design elements subordinate to the prominently displayed wording Genesis Village. It is an often recited principle that when a mark consists of a literal portion and a design portion, the literal portion is usually more likely to be impressed upon a purchaser's memory. And the board cited this court's precedent in Ray Viterra to support that finding.
But here the argument is that the customer, the fields of customers, are sufficiently different that they would not be in this generalized hedging statement of if the customers are all the same, which seems to be what the board and what the examiner was referring to, at least as far as the precedent they were relying on.
Again, Your Honor, the board cited evidence to support its findings on that. There was the showing that the examining attorney had put in evidence that other use-based registrations have been registered for use with both both rental services and property management for use with the same mark. There was the website evidence where it was clear that you know, you can go to the same website and see that there are offices or apartments for rent and that there are also property management services being offered for people who need that. And again, this is all factual matter that this court reviews for substantial evidence. Unless the court has any further questions, I'm happy to give the rest of my time back to the court.
Any more questions?
Any questions for counsel? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. There's the answer. Words matter over everything else. A general rule is in operation here. There's evidence that was not looked at. When counsel says, oh yes, the websites show property rentals, and they also show property solicitation of property owners. Those websites, 90% of the language is directed by the registrant to retain investors and to investors to manage their property and property owners. Yes, there are boxes there where an internet surfer could actually check a box and say, send me information about that apartment. That doesn't make them a consumer. We all know that. They're not consumers. They're transient people looking at that. The registrant's consumers, it's our argument, the registrant's consumers are those property owners and investors. And that solicitation and marketing language is inescapable. But getting back to the design itself, what I just heard was that, oh, well, the board looked at your design and it wasn't sufficient to overcome, to provide distinctiveness. And the scroll work on that design cannot be equated to the GV symbol. I asked the court to look at the design and actually say, do you really feel that consumers could not see the GV symbol? It is very evident. What the board did was reach a conclusion based on higher stylization, you must remember that my client is seeking high-end real estate apartment renters. The design and the mark exudes elegance. It exudes luxury. If you take my client's mark and put it on a Rolls Royce, it fits in exactly there. If you put it on a Volkswagen, no derogation of Volkswagen, it's not proper. It's designed to communicate exactly what the board derogated, higher stylization. And it shouldn't be penalized because it's stylized that way. I'm asking this court to decide this decision to reverse in the framework of a decision handed down by this court. This court has said there are no general rules. This court has said there are no rules as to whether letters or designs dominate. And even if one does, it's not dispositive. If that means anything, it means that my client's design was not given the proper review of an overall commercial impression. Rather, it was segmented. This court has said that a design composite mark like that, like my client's, has to be viewed in the visual indicia in which it occurs. In Re Electrolyte involved a case of potassium where the symbols were very common, K, and the goods were commodities. In that case, the court ruled reversed. I'm asking this court to reverse the decision. We believe our mark is distinctive. But more than that, it shouldn't be a requirement for composite applicants like myself to breach a nearly impregnable wall of word marks in this case, especially when they have a distinctive mark. I'm asking this court to render a decision that requires and compels the evaluation of the total commercial impression of the mark as a whole, the way consumers would see it. No consumer would ever view the mark as the way counsel has presented it. I thank Your Honor for your time.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel.